We pray. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Amen. The day is similar to many other days in Jerusalem. People are coming and going, busy with their lives, carrying out business transactions, buying and selling, cooking and cleaning, teaching and studying, weaving and forging. On the temple grounds, the usual rites are being observed. Priests are bustling to and fro. People are milling about in the temple courtyard. People are praying, some down on their knees, some standing with their arms raised up toward heaven, appealing, thanking, praising. Inside the temple, a priest has carried out the ashes left over from the preceding service of incense. Another priest can be seen coming out of the temple after bringing the burning coals from the altar of sacrifice. And now the third priest ascends the steps to the holy place. He carries with him the incense. He will sprinkle it on the burning coals. And as the smoke rises towards the heavens, he will offer up a prayer of intercession for the people. So as the prayers of the people and of the priest rise up toward the heavens, the sweet-smelling smoke of the incense goes up with them, making the prayers of sinners a sweet aroma to God. How many times before this has this wonderful ritual been carried out since the days of Moses? How many times by this ritual have the people been reminded that something needs to be done with their prayers because they are sinners? How the faithful like Zacharias and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna must have longed for the day when this shadow of things to come would be replaced by the reality, the substance, the symbol, by the fulfillment. On this particular day, Zacharias has been chosen to perform that great honor. His aged hands must have trembled, not only because of age, but also because of the awesome nature of this particular ministration. Through the temple doors and into the holy place he goes, carrying the incense. Inside, there is silence. He is alone. He probably paused to look up at the veil that was standing between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, behind which was the mercy seat, where the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled. Zacharias would never be allowed to go in there, only the high priest. But he approaches with awe the golden altar that stands before it on this side of the veil. With an intercessory prayer ready on his lips, he scatters the incense on the hot coals. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Standing on the right side of the altar of incense, when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The time has come. So long have the people of God waited for this day. Century after century they had watched, looking for signs, for evidence of his coming. They had listened to prophet upon prophet who gave them new visions of the promised one, a scepter, a king, a prophet, the Word made flesh, priest and sacrifice, a child, a son, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that the generations who heard these things had passed away, having seen the Messiah only through the eyes of faith. But now, this very day, it all begins. The forerunner is about to make his appearance. He will prepare the way for the Savior of the world. The prophet Malachi had declared, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." If the burning of incense in the temple was an awesome wonder for Zacharias, then what shall we call being chosen to be the father of the forerunner? But what honor did Zacharias have that exceeds the honor that you and I have? Here we are on this campus, where our Savior comes to us every day to assure us that he has walked this earth, that he has fulfilled our righteousness for us, that he has died for our iniquity and has risen again for our justification, that he has come to each one of us and made us his own, cleansing us in his blood. Here you sit and listen to things that the children of Israel never heard, things that angels delight to look into. You have the honor of being God's chosen forerunners, sent to prepare the way for the second coming of Christ. Our work here, our work with you, is to prepare you for your work of preparing others. So we do this in the same way that Zacharias and Elizabeth probably prepared John for his work. Whether or not you become pastors or teachers, it falls upon you as God's children to announce the second coming of Christ, to tell the people to prepare themselves, to repent of their sins, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, they will be prepared, just as you are. We pray. O Lord, prepare our hearts so that we can prepare others. Amen. Hymn 75, verse 4.